Hello again, class. This is Reverend Calhoun. We're going to continue our study on the spirit of honor. And in these class sessions, we're going to be talking about honoring power structures. And we're going to begin by reading Romans 13, 1 through 8. And we're going to look how God wants us to honor the structure of government that's in the land and also spiritual government. Amen. But we're going to start off with a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for each and every student. I thank you, Lord God, that you're blessing them, that your blessing is upon their lives, Lord God, and that, Lord God, that whatever you have called them to do, Lord God, they're going to fulfill that calling in Jesus' name. We thank you for our apostle who is the founder of this school, Lord God, and we thank you right now, Lord God, that you bless him and his family. And Lord, as always, if the Holy Ghost don't show up, I'm going to fall flat on my face. I'm leaning completely and totally upon you. I submit myself to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's look at Romans 13, 1 through 8. And I'm actually going to be reading from the Amplified Bible because it brings it in strong illustration. It says, "Let every person be loyally subject to the governing civil authorities, for there is no authority except from God, by his permission, his sanction, and those that exist do so by God's appointment." So basically in verse chapter 1, it says, let every soul be loyally subject to the governing and the civil authorities. That's talking about, you know, mayors, governors, you know, civil authorities. For there is no authority except from God, by his permission, his sanction, and those that exist do so by God's appointment. Verse 2, therefore, he who resists and sets himself up against authorities resists what God has appointed and arranged in divine order. And those who resist will bring down judgment upon themselves, receiving the penalty due them. For the civil authorities are not a terror to people of good conduct, but to those of bad behavior. Would you have no dread of him who is in authority? Then do what is right, and you receive his approval and his commendation. For he is God's servant. It's talking about people who are put in authority, police officers and what have you. For he is God's servant. But if you do wrong, you should dread and be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, executing his wrath, punishment, vengeance on evildoers or wrongdoers. Therefore, no one must be subject not only to avoid God's wrath and escape punishment, but also as a matter of principle and for the sake of consciousness. For the same reason we pay taxes to civil authorities and officials, servants under God, devoting themselves to the attention to this very service. Render to all their dues. Pay taxes to whom taxes is due, revenue to whom revenue is due, respect to whom respect is due, honor to whom honor is due. Keep out of debt. Owe no man anything except to love him, for he that loves his neighbor who practices love, loving others will fulfill the law relating to his fellow man, meeting all the requirements. Okay, it's so important that we understand where it says render to all their dues. This is the Amplified Bible. Dues means what's owed them. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear is due, and honor to whom honor is due. We are obligated to give tribute to whom tribute. We are obligated to give custom to whom custom is due. We are obligated to give fear to whom fear is due. We are obligated to give honor to whom honor is due. Obligation requires a compelling bond by a moral obligation or spiritual obligation. Paul says we are obligated to show these four types of honor to all men. We will examine each of them individually. Anytime you go into a place, now this is when you're doing ministry or a region of the world, and you have a tremendous anointing upon your life, that anointing level on your life will go all the way down if you disrespect the land, the people, and their customs. and the apostolic gift in that region. So that's something that you definitely need to know. Anytime you go into a place or a region in the world, and you might have a tremendous anointing, but that anointing level will go down if you disrespect the land, the country that you're in, the people that's in that country, and the people and their customs and the apostolic gift in that region. There are four kinds or types of honor to be bestowed and conferred are presently those worthy of this honor, especially when traveling to minister in certain places or a part of a ministry team in a foreign country. Tribute, custom, fear, and honor. When you visit a foreign country, you're obligated to adhere to the policies and the culture of the land as long as it doesn't violate the Word of God. Dishonor God's Word by, the laws and principles that are written in His Word. So if it doesn't dishonor God's Word, you need to definitely honor the land, the people, and their customs. Amen. If you want God's presence, His glory, and His anointing to show up, you must honor the land, its people, their customs, and the apostolic gifts in the region where you're traveling, because God is a God of divine order. And God sets up honor in different countries, sets up order. You know, each country has a different policies, different procedures, different customs. It's so very important that you know the customs of a country before you enter that country so that you don't violate their customs. Amen. God is a God of honor. We must submit to establish order of government and the customs that are set up in those countries that we're looking to evangelize. If we want God's presence and God's power to flow, you just cannot do what you want to do. You must follow the protocol of that region. All right. Okay, the first one is tribute to whom tribute is due. We're kind of breaking down Romans 13 and looking at what each of these mean. Amen? All right. So the first was honor with tribute. When you travel to a region or land, you are subject to the tax, law structure, and civil government of that land. You must honor and respect and obey them. Tribute is honoring the laws and the taxes of that land and the government systems of that country. Tribute means paying taxes, duty, tax or payment for imports or exports of goods and services. And one also must honor certain levels of structure within that civil government. Okay, it's honoring, you know, I know the Queen of England, she's gone, but I have for you like honoring the Queen. Now it would be the Prince, you know, any elected officials, any presidents, any people, the Prime Minister of a country. You must honor the laws of that land. You are giving tribute. When you honor the laws of that land, you are giving tribute, because whatever country you are in, you become subject to the tax structure and civil government of that country. Even when you're flying over an airspace, you must get permission and sometimes even pay a fee to fly over their airspace. So that's showing honor, you know, when you're in a country. You are obligated to abide by the rules that the government and the land of that country that you're in. If you violate a natural law, you can't expect God to move on your behalf spiritually because you are out of order. Amen. Paul says, you have to honor the government in that country, honor the laws of the land, honor the land. When you violate the natural laws of a country that are under God's divine order and structure, you are in fact violating God's order. Render to Caesar what is Caesar. You remember the situation with when they tried to trick Jesus and they said, should we pay taxes? And Jesus says, give me a penny or coin. And he looked at it, says, whose inscription is on this? He says, Caesar. He said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and render unto God what is God. And we talked about last week, tithing, honoring God. But here you have to render to all their dues to in every level of government. Amen. Even though, as I stated, your ministry is mightily gifted and anointed of God, if you do not honor the laws of that country and your ministry will be dramatically inhibited and the anointing levels will go down. If you violate the laws of any country, the people will not hear you because you're disrespecting their customs and you're not paying proper tribute to them because you have disrespected and dishonored their country, their traditions, and their heritage. God cannot bless disobedience or dishonor when you violate His divine order and governmental structure. You are subject to the tax structures and the civil governments of the land that you're traveling in. Tribute is honoring the laws of the land. Tribute means, like I said, taxes, duty, and certain levels of governmental structure within that government. And I already went and over Mark chapter 12, 14 through 17, where they tried to trick Jesus, and he talked about, whose face is on this coin? And verse 17 says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God. And they marveled at him. There are laws, rules, and regulations in a kingdom, a country, a nation, or a land that have been put in place to govern the people that live in these prospective nations. So by observing and obeying these laws, rules, and regulations, and aligning to them, you show honor as it pertains to the specific protocol of that land, that nation, or that country. Jesus said, honor Caesar by giving Caesar what's his, and God what belongs to him. When people violate the tax laws and the trade agreements, tariffs, and the customs duties they are actually being cursed. Their lives are being cursed because they're not following divine order. Hebrews 13 and 7 says, obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves to that which, Hebrews 13 and 7. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. All right, we're going to move on now to the second area of honor, customs, to whom custom is due. Honor custom is honoring the people of the land, or honoring their traditions. You are to honor the people, their customs, provided their customs do not violate the scriptural requirements for life. Anytime you go into a place in the world, and you might have a tremendous anointing again, if you dishonor the people and their customs, the anointing levels will go down. I don't know if it was this book or another book I was reading years ago, where some missionaries had went into a country, and the wife and the husband were in their tent, and it wasn't completely closed. And some of the natives or the locals walked by and saw them doing something that was totally disrespectful to their customs and their traditions. They went in the tent, pulled them out, and had them executed because they were disrespecting the customs of that land. You know, so I'm not going to go into what they were doing, but, you know, it was so vile to the natives until they said, you know, hey, we're going to execute you. So when you go, you know, when you're doing ministry and you go into a region, you need to know what's taboo, what you can and cannot do, and you want to not disrespect the laws and the customs, the traditions of the people of that land. Every people or ethnic group, tribe, or nationality has their individual culture that makes up the uniqueness of that people. Honoring the people of the land by respecting their culture shows honor to the people of that country that is giving custom to whom custom is due. So you want to give custom to whom custom is due. Some countries have customary greetings, a kiss or a salute or a gift. You know, I mean, when you go there, it's, you know, some, you know, men will kiss each other on the cheek. You know, that's just a custom. You know, you need to know what the customs are. In the nation of Saudi Arabia, I had a cousin who worked there for several years. He and his wife and family lived there, but they lived on an American compound. And as long as they were on the American compound, they could adhere to American customs and American, you know, way of life. But the minute his wife left with him and went outside the compound and was on Saudi ground, she had to cover her hair. She had to walk behind her husband. And there were just certain things that as a woman she couldn't do because that was custom. Even though she was American, she had to abide by the Saudi customs. And if not, you're disrespecting them, you're disrespecting their customs, and consequences can be result. You know, so if their customs and cultures do not violate the standards and requirements for life, the customs and the cultures must be respected, observed, and kept, and even preserved. Amen. To disrespect and disregard customs shows dishonor, and therefore the rewards of dishonor will be reaped. All right, we can go to number three. Fear to whom fear is due. That word fear isn't a fiery fear like a fright fear, but it's a respectful fear, you know, a reverential fear. Amen? Fear with honor. Fear is honoring the ranks, the spiritual dignitaries of the land, apostles and prophets of that land, the apostolic voice of that region. Know who they are before you go to minister into a region, so you do not violate the ranks and the spiritual protocols set in place by God. You know, and a lot of what we're talking about has to do, like I say, with ministry. And one of the things I had in my notes earlier, you know, you've got to see yourself ministering to the nations. You know, if you're called of God, you know, God may use you to go to another country or another region. And it's so important that you know the customs, the mores, the culture, the traditions in that country, so you don't disrespect the people. And in fear, you want to fear and respect the apostolic and the prophetic gifts in that land. Showing fear or reverence to those God has placed in authority is showing honor to those dignitaries of that land. Knowing the ranks that God has placed in a particular region is so important, so you don't dishonor those set in place by God. I'm going to read that again. Showing fear or reverence to those God has placed in authority is showing honor to those dignitaries in that land. Knowing the ranks that God has placed in a particular region is so important, so you don't dishonor those set in place by God. You know, all fivefold ministry gifts are not equal, and that's so very important. All people are not equal. Not all have the same gift, anointing, and endowment. Abilities are on the same spiritual level. You remember the situation where Jesus had issued out the talents and he gave, you know, one man five, one man another, you know, he gave them different talents according to their several ability, you know. So God is the one who puts people in positions of authority, and we need to honor those positions of authority. In the kingdom of God, there are different ranks, there's different levels of abilities, talents, gifts, and anointing given to people in every sector. We must honor the ranks that God has placed in the land. Fear means that respect and honor must be given to those whom God has graced with higher levels of ability, talents, gifting, and anointing. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. You know, here it says in 1 Peter 2:17 that we must honor the king or the president or the prime minister or the whomever is in authority. Clearly seen here, honor must be shown to whom honor is due. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." That's the King James Version. Now, the Amplified Bible of that same verse, 1 Timothy 5, 17 says, "Let the elders whom perform their duties or their office well be considered doubly worthy of honor and adequate financial support." And I like the fact that it uses the word adequate financial support, especially those who labor faithfully in preaching and teaching. So it's our responsibility to make sure that those who are in, you know, leadership or elders, you know, apostles and prophets, that they be given adequate financial support. In other words, sowing into their lives, you know, because that way they can continue to do what God has called them to do. The Message Bible of that same verse, 1 Timothy 5 and 17 says, "Give a bonus to leaders who do a good job, especially the ones who work hard at preaching and teaching." Scripture tells us that we should not muzzle the ox that treaded out the corn. Amen. Sometimes prophets and apostles enter a region and speak a word to a specific church without researching the dynamics of the fathers, the apostles, and the prophets, and the generational words in that region. When they do this, it upsets the equilibrium of what is happening in that region. That's why it's so important to research that area, to see who has rank. And know a little bit about their ministry, so when you go in there, you don't disrupt or hinder by saying something contrary to what God has already spoken through that man of God in that region. Honor to whom honor is due. This is honoring the anointing in the land. This means honoring the apostolic gift in that region. One way of doing this is to sow an offering into a higher ranking apostolic gift with greater anointing in the region that you're in. Sowing into the apostle, sowing into the first lady, sowing a seed of honor. One thing about honor that we need to understand is whenever a man of God comes into an auditorium, it shows honor when you stand up and wait until they tell you either to sit down or they sit down. But you honor, you know, when the President of the United States comes into an arena or into Congress, everybody stands up. They play Hail to the Chief, and they honor and they respect the office of the President. And once they're, you know, given the okay to sit down, then they sit down. It's disrespectful, even at the end of a service, if the apostle is still in the sanctuary or on the podium or, you know, on the platform, to get up and leave. Even though the service was officially dismissed, the man of the hour, God's man, is still there. He may turn and say something to the audience or just speaking to somebody that's being a benefit and a blessing to them. You show disrespect when you get up and walk out, because now it's one thing if you got to go to a job or got something you got to do that's pressing. That's understandable. But if you got a few minutes, you know, I'll stand up, and even after Apostle, he'll stand up and people may greet him at the door before he goes back to his chambers. If he's still in the sanctuary, I'm still focused on him and respecting him, because that's just the right thing to do, is to honor the man of God. You know, like I said, even like when we have prayer meetings, if he attends a prayer meeting and sits over in the corner, I show respect and honor by going and sowing into his life. Never go before a man of God empty-handed. You know, always show honor, giving honor to whom honor is due. What that does now, it allows God to allow the grace, the anointing, the blessing that's on his life to come up on your life because of the respect and the honor that you've shown for him. That's called upward giving. And I saw that, and I didn't get into it like I should earlier, but sowing up so that the blessings of God can come down. The scripture says in Hebrews, I think it's Hebrews 7, I don't remember the exact verse, it might have been 14, somewhere up in that area, but it said, without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better, you know, upward giving, sowing up to a higher level, to the apostolic, so that the blessing that's on the apostolic can come down on you. That cannot be understated. It's upward giving, sowing up so that that blessing can come down on you. When you honor the anointing that's in the land and you give an offering and sow a seed into the local apostolic gift of that region that you're visiting, you're showing honor to whom honor is due. I'll read that again. When you honor the anointing that's in the land, you give an offering or sow a seed into the local apostolic gift in that region that you're visiting. People come from all over the United States and other parts of the country just to sow into apostle personally, honoring the gift that's in the land. I mean, God in these last days he's training the body of Christ so that his government could be in place. You know, the government is upon the shoulders of Jesus. And then God says, you know, that the apostles and the prophets, they are, you know, the two gifts that, you know, are pillars in the body of Christ. And it's so very important that we honor those men and women of God by showing the respect that is due their name. Because if you don't, you're in a position where you're not going to get the blessing. You want the blessing. You want the grace. I can't understate it enough. Because God in these last days, he's wanting to bring the body of Christ up. He's wanting to elevate us to higher levels. But the only way you can be elevated to higher levels is to show proper honor. It's to show proper respect. You know, when a meeting is called, you know, you take every effort to be at that meeting, you know, special meeting. There have been times where I remember when my daughter first moved to Houston and she was first starting her job working for NASA. We went there, we, you know, got her an apartment, got furniture for her, and we were setting everything up that Saturday. I get a call from the secretary saying that Apostle is going to be having a special meeting before church service. Say, I know you're out of town. We just want to make you aware that Apostle is calling all the master life bearers to the meeting. I said, okay, I appreciate it. And then I looked at my wife and said, we weren't planning on being there that Sunday. We were going to stay with my daughter till that Sunday evening. So we weren't planning on being at church that Sunday. I said, we need to hurry up and finish what we're doing, get all the furniture in, get everything situated, and get in our car and head back to Baton Rouge, head back to Gonzales so that we can be in that meeting. There have been times I've canceled trips, canceled special occasions because Apostle had something going on that he wanted us to be a part of, you know, giving honor to whom honor is due. Because what's on his life is there to benefit you. Trying to see if I don't know if I can put that in any simpler terms, but it's you know, you want to honor the anointing that's in the land. Honor the anointing, honor the apostolic that's in the land. For years, we didn't even know what the apostolic was for the most part. But God now is restoring the fivefold ministry gifts. He's restoring his government to the position that he always wanted his government to be in. You know, and in order for God to bless his people, they have to line up under government. They have to line up and submit and understand protocol and not think about themselves, and you know, but think about the fact that they're honoring God, and God wants to bless us. But there are certain levels of honor that have to be reciprocated on our part for God to reciprocate his blessing back to us. You know, I mean, God has blessed me, blessed my family in tremendous ways, but I know those blessings did not happen without my wife and I first honoring our man of God, first honoring Apostle Thompson, first serving in whatever capacity that he asks us to serve in, and do it faithfully with a willing heart and understanding that that's you know, that's primary. Even when it comes to living in a particular city or a particular region, you want to be where God wants you to be. I'll never forget, my wife and I first got married. We stayed with a good friend of ours, and he said, I just feel like God wants me to buy you guys $40 worth of groceries, put gas in your car, and send you back west towards Lake Charles, because that's where I was living right before I got married. And we looked at him, and he went to do something else. I looked at my wife when we were in the room together. I said, I don't feel that in my spirit. She says, me neither. I said, we're going to thank him, and we're going to get ready and go. And we ended up staying with some other relatives. We only had been married 3 or 4 days. And we just knew in our heart that God wanted us to be in this region. You know, we went back to an established church that we had been a member of, you know, prior to us getting married, until God uprooted us and brought us to Word of Life. And the minute I came to a service and sat in the middle of the old sanctuary by a pole, God spoke to me and said, son, this is where you need to be. I turned because I thought the guy behind me was speaking to me, but it was God. But you know, if I would have been in Lake Charles or Houston or somewhere west of here, I would have been out of the will of God. And, you know, God couldn't have spoke to me. But when we felt in our heart to stay in this region, had no reason why. You know, I shared prior to that, even when I was in school, prior to being married, how God, I wanted to go to a Bible college in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The Holy Spirit arrested me and told me, no, that's not my will for you, son. And after, you know, him dealing with me spiritually, I sat down and wrote my wife and said that I will not be going to Tulsa. I'm going to be, you know, staying here. And at that point, I didn't think God really was going to do anything with me, you know, because I just knew if I don't go there, where else to go? But then once I stayed in this region, as I stated, and didn't go west, and did come to the church, God spoke to me. And that was back in like January well, actually was the last week of the year in December. And I started attending Word of Life Christian Center. Set, you know, January, February, March, April, May, June, July. And around about June and July, apostles start talking about, I'm looking at starting up my own school of ministry. You know, at that time it was called, it was called Word of Life School of Ministry. Now it's Ever Increasing Word Training Center, which you are part of now, some 25, 30 years ago. But the Lord spoke to my heart and says, I want you to be a part and go ahead and sign up for that school. It had been years since I had wanted to go to Tulsa, and I kind of almost, the thought of actually even going to ministry school had not even occurred to me. But God had positioned me to a point where, son, I got you where I want you to be. I want you to attend this man's Bible college. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. You know, this is all about honor, believe it or not. You know, honoring God and then honoring the man of God God sent you to. And I filled out the application and turned it in the last date, the day before the deadline. Attended the school, and it was 2-year school. When I was about to graduate, the day before we graduated, Kenneth Hagin had a Bible, either all-faith crusade or I can't remember what he was calling them back then, but I attended and an apostle was there. Just so happened, so it was so arranged that I sat right next to apostle on the end row seat. And why Kenan Hagin, as he always would do, would go and minister close by where Apostle was. You know, Apostle was right here. Kenan Hagin was ministering to him. The only reason I was close was because my seat was in the aisle. God spoke to me and told me, son, he said, you are in my perfect will, because even though you wanted to follow this man, my will is for you to follow this man who's following Kenan Hagin. And so don't think you're losing out on anything, because everything that you need, you're going to get from your man of God who got from his spiritual father. And it's just, it was a divine order that I had to establish. And I knew God at some point in my life would give me an opportunity to share it and to share it in detail. And that's why I'm kind of doing it a little bit in detail. I share it in bits and pieces, but you know, when you honor God and then you begin to now honor the man of God, God sets you under, God can't help but bless you. He can't help but bless you, because you are now undergirding God's man, helping him fulfill God's vision in the region. So you become valuable. You know, I consider myself valuable to my man of God. Whenever he needs me to do anything, whether it's ministering on a Wednesday or a Sunday, or, you know, if we have a special meeting and he wants me to chaperone or to drive a minister, him and his wife, go pick him up at the airport. I've done that, you know, in years gone by. You know, teach here at the School of Ministry, you know, be a part of the prison ministry here at Word of Life Christian Center. Whatever, I've learned to submit and obey. Submit and obey and honor the man of God in my life. Amen? All right, let me just share some things with you that we went over. When you honor the laws of the land, you are giving tribute, because whatever country you're in, you become subject to the tax structure and the civil government of that land. Amen? Showing fear or reverence to those God's place in authority is showing honor to the dignitaries of that land. Knowing the ranks that God set in place in particular regions is so important, so you don't dishonor those that God has set in place. Amen? Honor the people of the land. Respecting their culture is referred to as giving custom to whom custom is due. Honoring the people, the land, their culture, their customs, their tradition is showing custom to whom custom is due. Amen? When you honor the anointing that's in the land, you give an offering or sow a seed into the local apostolic gift in that region that you're visiting. When you honor the anointing that's in the land, that's the man of God, the apostolic gift in that region, you are showing honor to the anointing that's in the land. Anytime you go into a region in the world, and you may have a tremendous anointing, that anointing level will go all the way down if you dishonor the land, the people, and the customs and the apostolic gift. You don't want to dishonor the land, the people of that land, their customs, and the apostolic gift in that area. You know, that's so very important. With that said, I'm going to go ahead and wrap it down. But don't forget about camp meeting. I'm sorry. Prosperity Revival, that's going to be happening. Well, actually, it's probably with this class session, it's probably already happened. But try to make all of Apostles' meetings that you can. Try to come to the ministry as often as you can. Get under the anointing. It's one thing to hear it on, you know, the internet, you know, on YouTube, on LeroyThompson.tv now, but it's a total another thing to be under that anointing in person, because you're showing honor. And just that special effort of getting here, you know, you'll get a special blessing, believe me, you know, because God is doing some unique things in this area. The anointing levels are increasing, and you want to be there to receive the increase in your life and in your ministry, and for your family. Amen. With that said, I will see you next week. My time is up. God bless.